Welcome to the Hobby of a Lifestyle podcast, a show that looks at how our passions impact lives and drive career choices. I'm Andy Gray, a former national and world champion kickboxer. During my shows, I'll be talking with athletes, coaches, fans and more as I delve into their world to find out what inspired them on their journey. Welcome to Hobby of a Lifestyle. This week I'm joined by a young lady with the world at her feet. She's already multiple GB champion, European champion and two-time world champion. Welcome to the show, Ottilie Robinson-Shaw. Let's find out the whole story. Good morning, Ottilie. Welcome to Hobby of a Lifestyle today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to learning about your journey and how you got to where you are. So, Ottilie, if you just want to tell listeners, what are you best known for? What is your hobby? What is your passion?
So I compete in freestyle kayaking for Great Britain, which is a form of like gymnastics, or basically you do flips and kayaks in white water, and it's really fun.
I'm really excited to find out how you even begin to get into that. So back to your childhood, what kind of things were you into as a child?
So I've always been very outdoorsy. My mum would struggle to get me in for dinner. I'd spend my whole time in the garden, digging holes, making mud pies. And I've always loved being outside. I live right by the beach. I've enjoyed a lot of swimming and just spending time outside. I did a lot of sports like ballet, tennis, golf. I've tried everything, which my grandma thought was a great idea.
Sports that kids would try. I mean, you know, they're seasonal, aren't they? And golf certainly, yeah, I don't remember, apart from hitting the golf ball on the school field when I was a kid.
I don't
remember trying too much golf. So you've definitely went down the alternative path.
I live in a town with an older population. So the clubs are golf, tennis, cricket, and then I did ballet. So you'd have to travel much further to do things like gymnastics.
So you're saying you're outdoorsy. I mean, kayaking, when does that even come into the picture?
So when I was about 10 or 11, I was down at the local swimming pool with some friends, and I think it was a Saturday, and after we got out the pool, all the kayaks started filling into the pool, and my mum thought, oh, that looked good, so she signed me up, and every Saturday I went down to the pool where we had lessons, and eventually, come the summer months, they'd get you out on the on the real river, which I really enjoyed.
Okay, so up to that age, did you, even though you were trying all these other sports, did you feel like something was missing?
So weirdly, I was very shy as a child, and so I didn't particularly enjoy sport at school that much, and I did a lot of music, which is bizarre, but it wasn't until I went to secondary school where I went to a really nice all-girls sporty school, and I fell in love with competing and being part of a team and pushing myself.
Okay, so what were you doing? What sports were you predominantly playing when you went to secondary school?
Just the normal netball hockey rounders, which I really enjoyed.
Right, okay. So what hooked you in about kayaking?
I think there was a couple of different things. I really enjoyed starting out with my local club at the pool. And then once I started to get into it a bit more, you always needed a parent to come on the river with you. And my dad used to kayak as a kid. So he was the parent that would have to join me. And once he started getting back into it, we found a passion that we really enjoyed together. And we spent a lot of time bonding and doing a sport together, which I think was amazing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you do find, I know that certainly when I was a child, that when I was going along to my karate kickboxing classes, just because my father was there, he would join in. And it ended up becoming a passion for him, and he started doing it for quite a few years as well. And yeah, and I agree, it's a nice thing to do with your parents, and it's a nice way to build those bonds and form stronger relationships. Something I believe now that, you know, is maybe lost a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can regain it, and hopefully COVID hasn't kind of put a block on all of that. So you're doing kayaking. Are you still competing at school as well? Or have you decided now that kayaking's the route you want to go down and you want to pursue this?
So I actually left school after my GCSEs to find a better work, study life and kayak balance. So I don't compete in school sports or anything now apart from kayaking. But that's my true passion, and that's what I want to do right now.
So how soon was it before you started competing in a kayaking events?
So I started competing, I think, when I was around 12 years old. And they were just minor little competitions in the UK. And then it just led on to bigger things eventually.
I mean, you're talking about freestyle there. And I mean, I've been watching some of the videos you post. And as you said, it's kind of gymnastics in a kayak, which is absolutely crazy. Because if anyone, even an Eskimo roll is, I find it ridiculously hard. So watching you do kind of front flips and back flips and everything else that comes with it, is it's crazy to watch. It's phenomenal. How does that get introduced into training? Because, you know, you watch it now and you think, how do you even begin learning stuff like that?
So first of all, you obviously have to get confident in your kayak. You've got to be able to exit it safely, wear your spray deck and maneuver just on the flat water. And then you develop your Eskimo roll. And once your Eskimo roll is, we call it like bulletproof, so you can go over and you're always pretty much come up, you can start experimenting with new things. So on the white water, you'll go in the feature and get tossed around, or on the flat water, your friends will throw you off the pontoon and try and like make you do flips and things.
You do. Just throw your friend off the pontoon, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Can you remember your first experience of trying to roll?
I can remember learning, actually. I found it really hard to do with a paddle. I could hand roll amazingly. And it was my dad and an older coach at the club who tried to teach me. And they struggled to get me to understand what to do with a paddle. So for ages, I'd just hand roll. And I'd spend every Saturday, I'd spend like 2 hours flipping upside down and coming back up again without my paddle.
I mean, when did you realise that you had a talent for this then? Was there a coach, or was it your father who came up and said, Otley, if you keep working hard, no doubt you can take this further?
I don't know. I don't think I ever remember a moment like that exactly. I think it's something I really enjoy, and because of that, it's driven me to progress. But I'm also very competitive, and I see someone doing an amazing trick and I want to learn it. So that's pushed me. And once you start competing, you know your rankings and you want to get to the top. And yeah.
it's just one, because it's such a different sport, and I'm not going to pretend I know a lot about it. So I just want to find out, what was the motivation? If you were one of those kids, because you get those kids when they're younger as well, and you go, yeah, okay, they're naturally talented at this, they're going to be exceptional. And then you get the other people who just work really hard to get where they're at, and they're maybe talented, but because they work so hard, they end up kind of producing that talent. Competing. So were you competing in freestyle from being a kid, or was it just general kayak races?
No, I've competed in freestyle since a kid. Yeah, my first competition and my latest competition, all freestyle.
Yeah. So it starts off local level, I'm assuming. You just against maybe people within your club or a couple of local clubs. And then it must progress into maybe regionals or into a British, I'm assuming.
Because freestyle is still quite small in the UK, we have, so for kids, we have this program called Young Guns, which is like a competition tour. And it's just for kids, and everyone travels from all over the country to compete in it, and that's sort of the starting level. Some clubs might hold little competitions, but mostly if you're a kid, you go to Young Guns, or it used to be called Youth Freestyle, and you meet other kids and you just enjoy going.
And how many of those did you win then?
I don't know. I did it for a few years, and then I started competing kind of on a bigger level, so I'd go to help or I wouldn't be able to make it.
How old were you when your first British?
Pardon?
How old were you when your first British title?
I think I became British champion when I was 14 or 15, around that time. I can't quite remember.
To go back, because I've won British titles for my sport, but I was 17, 18, and then going back and being able to say it's almost a bit of a surreal moment.
Yeah.
What was it like for you being able to go? Because I imagine amongst your friends, certainly at school, maybe one other person would kayak.
Yeah.
Best in Britain at that now.
Yeah, I think it definitely earns you a lot of like credit amongst your friends, and they respect you. But yeah, winning is good, but you shouldn't let it get to you. Like, just be normal when you go to school.
I suppose it's a bit of both, isn't it? It can get, it's very easy to get carried away with it, the fact that you're now the best in Britain at your chosen sport.
Mm-hmm.
But also, other people don't necessarily know or understand it, so it's not that big to other people, is it?
No. Yeah. I think at my school, they understood I kayaked, but until I won the world championships, then it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to that part. So you've won the British championships. Mm-hmm. Where do you go from there? Is it Europeans? Is it just the world championships, or is the other events that are bigger and better for you to kind of test?
So in freestyle, we have the competitions run on a 2-year cycle. So we have European championships 1 year and world championships the next year. So as a junior, you get 2 opportunities to compete in a world championships and 2 opportunities to compete in a European championships if you make the team. So that's the next thing. Like, that's all within, you're probably not going to win like the British championships unless you're up there on team level. But that's all kind of combined.
So what's the step up like when you go from a British championships and then all of a sudden you get selected to represent GB at a European mm-hmm. or a world championships? What was that experience like when you first made one of those world teams?
So my first international competition was the European Championships in Germany when I was 14. And that was kind of crazy. It was my first time like missing a considerable amount of time at school to train for an event. It was the first time focusing on an event. And it was amazing. The amount of people I met and what I learned during that time, it's valuable.
And what was the experience like when you got there? Because there's a lot of people can either go one of two ways. You can either have a fantastic tournament where everything goes right for you and you medal, or you can go the other way where it's just a massive learning curve. I was talking about this on a podcast the other week, and I remember my first European Championships. I was horrendous. And it wasn't through lack of talent. It wasn't through anything. It was just a lack of the unknown. And I had maybe undertrained for something. I'd went out there and it was just a huge learning curve for me. I was never a European Championships where I was never going to medal, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, so let me see. So when I went to the Europeans, I was in quite a strong position as a junior girl without realizing it. I think I developed some strong tricks, and coming into the finals, I was sitting in third place, I think, third or second. In the finals, my first ride, actually, I scored 0 points. Right. And I didn't particularly have a goal. I just wanted to do my tricks. And I remember I was so upset. I had a bit of a cry in the eddy, which is where we sit. And I then went upside down to wash away the tears. And I think I then went in to do the only ride left. And I did the best I could have done, really. And that was amazing.
What did you get then? Did you get a silver or bronze medal?
I got a bronze, but I was the youngest person at the whole like championship, so I was a bit in the deep end.
Is this a junior European or is it an adult?
So the junior and adult event take place at the same place at the same time, but there's an under 18 category which I was competing in.
Yeah, but to say you're the third best in Europe for your age mm-hmm. category is quite a phenomenal achievement.
Mm-hmm. But that was back in 2016.
So it's not that long ago, really, is it?
Yeah.
5 years ago. But what are your family and your friends thinking when you come back and you've now got a bronze medal from an international tournament?
I think now it's like go-go time. Let's get to the top in the world.
Was that very much your mindset when you came back from that European?
I think so. Every night between that event and the World Championships, I'd lie there and think, oh, it would be good to be world champion. I wasn't confident enough to say it out loud. I'd tell my dad, but between us, I knew what I wanted.
And had you seen anyone who was up there at these tournaments where, you know, the winner of the European, are they also potentially going to win the Worlds as well, or is it a bit of a different ball game when you start getting the Americas in and all of the different countries coming in?
So the I think both girls who beat me at the European Championships actually aged out the following year, so they moved up into seniors. So my main rivals were like the Americans and the New Zealand paddlers. And that brought a lot more skill and like a higher level to the competition.
Yeah. And I suppose because it must be going into the unknown for your first World Championships, because Europeans, you're competing against people who you're going to be competing against at other European Championships, but you're not seeing anyone else from around the world to look at and go, okay, that's what they're doing. I need to be at this level, or I need to do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
yeah. How did your training change when you came back from a European Championships? Now you're bronze medalist, the expectations either from yourself or from other people or for you to then go to a Worlds and do well?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's not... As a kid, I was never necessarily motivated to like compare myself to the other people. I was trying to better myself and see how good I can get. And I didn't know. I knew that at the World Championships, I'd be competing against the reigning junior world champion. And I knew if I wanted to win, it was going to be hard. But I really worked on my tricks. And I worked as hard as I could whilst being at school. And I went to the event kind of unsure as what the standard would be. But yeah.
Where was the World Championships at?
It was in Argentina, actually. Yeah.
What a place to go to. And I think this is one of the things it's nice to highlight. The sports that we're talking about here, they're not always, we've already said recently, it's not a funded sport.
Uh-huh, yeah, no funding.
Argentina by yourself to be crowned a world champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, I've done exactly the same thing with my sport. You have to fund it and the travel. But the money that you pay for these is a huge investment. I mean, how often does someone get to say, you know, they're 16 years old and they've been to Argentina to compete?
Exactly, yeah.
It's an amazing...
It's very special.
Sacrifices, isn't it? You know, I'm sure at 16-year-old, I'm sure you're doing little bits to try and earn a little bit of money, but the sacrifice your parents make...
Uh-huh.
Because that is not a cheap trip.
Exactly, yeah.
Huge sacrifice that your parents are making. Mm-hmm. But you've qualified, you're going to Argentina. I mean, that's a pretty special place. What was it like when you get to Argentina to represent your country?
Oh, it was the trip of a lifetime. I think my first World Championships in a country I'd never been to, and I probably would have maybe never gone to, perhaps, was unbelievable. And my dad and I were actually a bit like unsure before we went. We were like, gosh, what are we getting ourselves into? Because you read about crime in the country, and we were a bit scared, but it was fantastic. I'd go again.
How did you get on then? First World Championships again, something very not as new this time, because it's another international tournament, but it's still a different ballgame if it's your first World Championships.
Yeah. So when I arrived, there was a lot of like hype and excitement because a lot of people had never met me before or seen me. And that really kind of fueled me. All these like big deal kayakers were getting very excited to like paddle with me and like shake my hand. And with that, I paddled really well. All the way through the competition, it was me and the reigning world champ neck and neck up until the finals, and then it was like either one of us could have probably won, and it was down to who's going to like pip the other during this like 10 minutes.
How did that go?
So I beat her, which was very exciting, but yeah, it was a good competition and she was a very good competitor.
That's phenomenal. I mean, what was it like when you've realised that you're now a world champion in your sport?
It was a bit surreal. I definitely cried. And I remember straight after the competition, we got in the car to go and get some pizza for lunch. And I had my little phone and it was going crazy. I had hundreds of school friends, people I'd met sending me videos, and like my little phone and the Argentinian like 3G couldn't cope. Everything crashed.
I mean, when you come back home as a world champion,
uh-huh.
Does your life change? Because I know in my sport, it doesn't. You go back to work, you know, you go back to training because, as I said, it's self-funded, so you've still got to work to do this. And
yeah.
From family and friends knowing about it, and yes, you can tell people within the sport, my life didn't change at all.
Yeah. I know, I agree that not much actually changes. I think the biggest change was for me was a big, like, self-confidence lift. It made me a lot more confident and actually go, okay, I'm quite good at this. I can push this. Now let's concentrate on my exams, and then I'm going to kayak a lot more.
I think it's a good one to highlight for young people who certainly, because I know you're going to be doing some work coming up. I've seen that advertised on Instagram where you're going to be doing some talking in schools and whatnot. And obviously we can talk about that.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to highlight that we are going to have to self-fund a lot of things. You know, not everything that you see on the telly is.
Yeah.
Funded. And to be fair, a lot of sports that are just on the television, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's about broadening people's horizons and introducing new sports. And hopefully, eventually, they'll kind of make it into the mainstream.
Yeah. Is that really important to, like, not necessarily pick football as your sport because you want to be really rich, but pick a sport that, maybe it's niche, but you might get to go to the Olympics, who knows, but a sport you really thoroughly enjoy and you find a passion and something to concentrate on.
So you finished your exams.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to kayak more. What was your progression after your GCSEs, I suppose? As a world champion, moving into, what was the idea? What did you want to do?
So that summer was actually amazing. I finished my exams, and then I think a couple of days later, we packed up the van, and Dad and a friend, we drove across Europe competing in the World Cups, some like festival kind of competitions. And then at the end of the summer, we did the European Championships. Wow. So probably the most exciting summer.
Yeah, it sounds good. So what were the European Championships like? I'm sure there's expectations now where actually she's won the world, she should win the Europeans.
Yeah, weirdly, there felt like there was a bit of pressure at this event. But I managed to hold it together and I took the win. But yeah, it was definitely, that was my first time competing at like a big event where I had everything to lose and nothing, not much to gain, really.
But pretty impressive now to see you're sort of 16, 17-year-old. You're now a bronze medal European.
Mm-hmm.
A European champion and a world champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty special. Surely your name is now the one that everybody's looking at when you go to these tournaments.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'm assuming the next tournament you would have went back to would have been a Worlds again, but you've aged out and you're now seniors.
No. So I was lucky and I was able to compete at two world championships as a junior. So in 2019, I competed in Spain for my final junior competition.
And retained. Yeah.
Took the win.
Took the win.
Yeah.
I bet you the young people are thinking, I'm over the moon that she's aged out now and she's going into seniors.
I'd imagine so.
Yeah. How much do you help those young people who are aspiring to be you?
As much as I can. Like, I have a lot of young junior girls in the UK that I like to help kind of coach, and kind of if they have any questions, they're more than welcome to answer them, because I was super lucky and I had Clara Hara, who was like the 10-time senior women's world champion, like very, very good. And she gave a lot of time to me and taught me a lot of like valuable lessons. And I feel like in her honor, I should give it to the younger people as well.
And especially when you're only so young yourself as well.
Yeah. Yeah. These people are my friends. They're like 17. And so.
There's not much age difference at all, is there?
Not at all.
Have you competed in your first adult tournament now then?
So, well, I competed once in Ireland just for a competition. Then we came back a week later. The country's gone into lockdown. So not since then, no.
When's the next international tournament for you?
So.
No, it's just dipped out again there, Otley.
Now we're concentrating on the European Championships in Paris in October.
Okay, wow. And What are your expectations and is your first adult tournament?
I mean, I'm going in for the win. You might as well.
100%. I don't know if it's the right question to ask because as a competitor, you have to go for the win and you have to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Do you actually genuinely feel you can medal or win that tournament?
Yeah.
I love that.
It's hard because I'm always trying to be humble and like, but I did a podcast a couple of weeks, maybe a month ago, and someone asked a similar question. And like, yeah, I've worked really, really hard these past couple of years, and I think I'm in a strong position. And we'll see. But from like the tricks I can do, I'm confident, yeah. I think.
I think you're talking about being humble there, and I think it's quite a British mentality to be humble.
Yeah.
I mean, not totally, but it is very, you know, you certainly when you go to tournaments and you've got other countries coming involved and you look at the confidence they portray, border on arrogance. And I quite like that if it can be justified. So I think just to hear, I spoke to Shona McCallan and her mindset was amazing from hockey.
Yeah.
So, wow. It's so nice to hear British people and certainly British competitors talking like that. You think, yeah, I can win this.
Yeah. I think culturally it's not necessarily kind of approved.
I agree. And I think that changed.
And I like, yeah, but I'll be honest, I don't lie. That's what I think.
You're a European champion. You're a double world champion.
Yeah.
You've got every right to justify. Is this, because I'm thinking about other sports and certainly the sport that I competed in. The step up from junior to adult, I feel, was huge back then. I don't know if it's bad now. Maybe it is. But what's the transition from junior to adult like in your sport?
For normal like people who age out from junior to senior, it is huge. Like the gap in the UK between the junior men and the senior men is big. Same with the junior ladies. But there are a few people, like generally the juniors who are at the top and they win the world championships, they'll be kind of top five level, maybe in the men's and women's, maybe not all the time. But at the moment, there's a couple of us who are 19 to 21 who are within the women's and men's who are definitely pushing the seniors.
I like it. Do you think that COVID is a good thing for you then?
What, the gap or what do you mean?
The gap before training, giving you that extra time to really kind of hone in and focus on some specific skill sets that you maybe wouldn't have had the opportunity to work on if you'd just been straight into an adult tournament.
Oh, what, during COVID? Sorry, I lost you a little bit. We've had over these last couple of years.
Yeah.
I actually think... it's almost been a blessing in disguise, really, because I've had all this time to work on my strength, on my skills, on my like knowledge about the sport and like competing without competing. And I think it definitely would have been more fun to have competed and maybe lost some to learn. But at the moment, I'm feeling like I've gained so much from lockdown.
Of course. So you're talking about studies as well. What are you now doing then career-wise, moving forward, education-wise? Are you at university or you just decided it's not for you and you're going to concentrate on the kayak and seeing what you can do with that?
So after my GCSEs, I started a professional apprenticeship in surveying, so I studied online for that and then I got qualified with the RSCS in December. So now after I got my qualifications and now I think I will do some surveying, but kayaking is going to be my focus. I don't plan on doing a degree at the moment, just because I don't see the point in doing a degree if you don't want to or you haven't found something that you want to study.
Oh, I totally agree. I didn't do one.
No.
I didn't want now. Yeah. But that just was
it's so expensive. Like you might as well wait until you know what you want to do.
Yeah, and I suppose do you need a degree to kayak?
No. But I think a really important thing is to be able to, once I stop kayaking, I need qualifications to be able to get a job in the like real world, I guess. And that's why I did the apprenticeship. And now I can concentrate on kayaking, hopefully.
Okay. So what are your aspirations moving forward within kayaking then? Because you've just talked about that you're so young. You want to go and win an adult world championships. Is it just one you want to win, or do you want to win a couple just to prove it wasn't a fluke?
I don't know. Like, I think I would like to get into double digits.
Wow.
Yeah. I see, like, yeah, for now I'm concentrating on winning the world championships as a senior. But I think my big dream is to be a professional kayaker, to be able to like earn a living from the sport, and then just to keep competing and keep enjoying it and keep pushing the sport.
Obviously kayaking and it is in the Olympic Games.
Well,
not your discipline, though, but there
not
is
not my discipline. No. Yeah.
Would you ever change disciplines in order to maybe pursue that?
It's interesting. Actually, sometimes I lie there and I'm like, I dream about going to the Olympics. It's something I like crave. And it upsets me that I train really hard and I'll never get to actually achieve that. So maybe, you never know, I might end up switching. But for now, I love freestyle so much, and I don't think anything can compare to that.
Yeah, of course. No, it's fair enough. So the aspirations are to create and forge a career in kayaking.
Yeah, exactly.
How what would that look like then? Is that having a club? Is that, I don't know, how would a career in kayaking work?
At the moment, I'm trying to develop my coaching, and then with the schools, like that's another way to kind of support myself. But I think long-term, kind of develop relationships with brands and people who like want to see me in their kit kayaking. That's what I want.
You're from the golden generation for that, aren't you? Really for developing social media aspect and bringing in the branded stuff. And, you know, I've been fortunate to speak to a few people who are of a similar age, maybe a little bit older, and they're now sponsored by... The amount of companies they're sponsored by is fantastic. And they basically, I don't even think they compete anymore. They just, they're sponsored. So they go around the world and just do new things. They'll try out new kite surfing spots, or they'll go and do downhill skateboarding. And it's just finding the best places in the world to do that rather than actually competing.
Yeah. And I think social media nowadays is so important. Like, who knows who you are without it, really?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. If it's not on social media, did it really happen?
Exactly.
Not. What would your one piece of advice be then, or what advice do you give a young person who's looking to follow in your footsteps?
So I think the biggest thing I've learned is that you don't need to be the most talented at something as a kid to become the best at it. You just need to find something you really love and work hard at it. Or even if you don't love it, like with school or with a sport, just put the time in. Time equals like progression.
No, I like it. It's a good piece of advice. It's really, really good. Well, Otley, I just want to say thank you so much for your time this morning and coming on Hobby of a Lifetime. Really interesting to learn about your journey, and we're looking forward to watching it progress and seeing how you go on at your first adult world championships.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Hobby of a Lifestyle. Stay safe, stay well, and we'll see you next time.